Let us pray. Almighty God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace. And in the renewal of our lives, make known your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord says this: For Zion's sake, I will not keep quiet, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be crowned of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hands of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed de-isolated, but you shall be called, My delight is in her, and your lands married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall God rejoice over you. This is the word of the Lord.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, Let Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another the discernment of spirits, to another the various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. This is the word of the Lord.
There was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to them, They have no wine. Jesus said to her, Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come. Mary said to the servants, Do whatever he tells you. Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, Fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Then he said, Now draw some water out and take it to the chief steward. So they took it. But when the steward tasted the water, he found it had become wine. He did not know where it had come from, although the servants who drew the water knew. The steward called the bridegroom and said to him, Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now. Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Give thanks to the Lord for his glorious gospel. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we have the first of Jesus' signs according to John. John's beautifully crafted gospel uses seven signs, wonders, miracles to tell the story of the gospel, the story of resurrection, the story of new life, of changed life, of life being reborn. He retells the story time and time again so that at least one of them we might manage to hold on to. And in that holding on, believe and live. Today we heard the first of these, which takes place in perhaps the most famous of all weddings. But the fame of the wedding now doesn't mean that the wine didn't run out then. And Mary turns to her son for a solution. Now Mary knows that Jesus isn't a rich man. She isn't expecting him to send somebody down to the offy to get the supplies. But she also clearly knows he can do something about this situation. And so, despite Jesus's dismissal, she tells the servants to do whatever he asks of them. And it is a strange, strange thing he asks. Filling up jars used for washing dusty, dirty feet and for cleaning hands ceremonially is hardly a way to produce wine, even poor quality wine. No one would use such vessels to store wine in. No one would use such vessels for anything other than washing. I wonder how bemused the servants were when they were told to fill them up. They do it nevertheless. And God's purposes are worked out. Worked out in a surprising, unexpected way. Mary, the servants, the steward, the bridegroom, and of course Jesus, all have a role to play in allowing this miracle to take place. Each role was dependent on one of the others playing their part. It was like a pass the parcel. If somebody hadn't played their role, then the next bit along wouldn't have worked. And so Paul would tell us in his letter to the Corinthians, as he said to them, "You all have a role to play. Play your role." If Mary hadn't asked Jesus, would Jesus even have known the wine had run out until he lifted his goblet and nothing was placed in it? He was a male guest. He would have been reclining round the tables with the other men. He wouldn't have been checking on the servants, seeing if there was enough wine and food. He wouldn't have even been speaking to Mary necessarily because she would have been in another place with the woman. And if Mary hadn't spoken to the servants, would they have done as Jesus requested? One guest amongst so many others, saying long after the ritual washing of the hands and feet had finished, "Go fill those jars with water once more." We need to remember that this isn't a simple task that we might think it is today. It wasn't a case of getting the hose pipe out or taking the jar to the tap and turning it on. Somebody would have had to journey to wherever their water source was and bring the water back, not just one time, but several times to fill up those six large jars. Meanwhile, as they were doing that, wedding guests still needed attended to. Jesus then tells them not to serve it, but to do what is correct and to take it to the chief steward, the one in charge of the feast. For it is only he that can grant permission for a new jar of wine to be served, just in case it isn't good enough. The steward, upon tasting the new wine, recognizes it as being very good. He doesn't ask where it has come from. He doesn't thank the servants for having found more wine. But why would he? They were the servants, and their role was to take it to him. So he goes straight to the bridegroom. If the steward had asked the servants, what would he have done with this wine which had come from washing vessels? Would he have tasted it? Would he have marvelled at how good it was, or dismissed it, tainted by his own understanding of how such things should be used? At each step, the fulfilling of this role assigned to the individual allows for the miracle to happen. If anyone had decided that someone else should do that, or I can't be bothered doing that, or that won't work, I'm not going to do it. If anyone had decided that, well, I'm going to do that instead, or I want to do their role, would we know anything at all about this wedding if there was no miracle connected to it? Down through the centuries, this event, like indeed many of the other miracles in the Bible, have been explained and rationalized and turned into allegories. What if this is no allegory? What if this is no storytelling method? What if, pure and simple, this was a miracle? What if the lesson for today is the way Jesus can and will and does perform miracles? Gives new hope and life and abundance through people faithfully following him. What if this is simply a story of a miracle told to set an example how God can and wishes to achieve miraculous things through us? Just imagine that. Just imagine what a wonderful world, more wonderful than it already is, we would live in. Ursula Fanthorpe ends her poem, Not the Millennium, like this. The economy of heaven looks for fiestas and fireworks every day. Every day. Be realistic, says heaven. Expect a miracle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
As we offer our prayers to God for the church and for the world, the response in our prayer, prayers this morning is, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Gracious God, your Son Jesus began his ministry at a wedding celebration, and through the miracle of wine, the wine showed us the abundance of your wonderful love for us. May Jesus continue to transform the water of our everyday lives into the new wine of your kingdom on earth, transforming by his love the ordinary into the extraordinary. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of marriage that we carry out in this place. May those so blessed grow together in the knowledge that Jesus is their companion on their journey through life together. In our diocesan prayer cycle, we pray for Kevin, our bishop, for our Paul Vu link to the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Iceland. We pray for our diocesan Maka, Reverend Kirsten. We pray for the congregations of St. Augustine's Dumbarton and for the ministry there of Reverend Heller Gonzalez. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Father God, we pray for our world and for the problems faced by so many of your children. We pray for all who live under threat of war, terrorism, poverty, and hunger, which comes in their wake. Govern the hearts and minds of all world leaders and those in authority, that they may act justly, honestly, and according to your will. And remember particularly people in lands faced by famine at this time, and particularly the people of Afghanistan. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Loving Lord, we pray for those we know who will be married during the coming year. Be with them as they make their plans, and give them the patience and understanding when things are difficult. In their growing love for each other, may they come to know you as the source of all love, and help them to rejoice in their shared memories of joy and laughter, sadness and disappointment. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Healing Lord, we pray for those who have rejected you, who struggle with their faith because they are ill and blame you for their afflictions. Help them to see the reality of your desire for wholeness and health for them. Enable all who are sick to pray for help for themselves and to give thanks for those who care for them. We pray for those known to us who are sick or in hospital at this present time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Lord, through your Son, you have freed us from the grip of the tomb. We pray for those who have departed this life and ask you, through your loving kindness, to have mercy on their souls. We pray too for those bereaved by their passing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, as we go out into the world, supported together by your Holy Spirit, we pray that we may reflect on your love in our families, our church and our community, so that the world can witness that we are followers of Christ and draw others into his loving care. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.